Will you open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter number 5, Matthew chapter 5. And while you're doing that, let me invite you back to the evening service tonight. We are praying this summer, what we are trying to do in the evening service and in the Wednesday night services is have more like revival type services, good spirited singing, and we'll try to bring a message. And our theme is kind of like Ace Hardware, get in, get help, and get out. That's what they say, get in, get help, and get out. So we start at 6:30 tonight. If you'll come, we'll be through by 7:30. If you come at 7 on Wednesday, we'll be through by 8. And so we hope you'll come. And then the morning, Wednesday morning service, of course, this coming Wednesday, hope you'll be a part of that as well. We have been dealing in the book of Matthew with this wonderful passage of Scripture called what they call the Sermon on the Mount. And it is absolutely limitless. It's almost kind of like the barrel that the Lord blessed, that the prophet blessed in the Old Testament, where the oil and the meal was in the barrel. And every time she went back to get meal, it continued to be there. And every time we go back through the book of this Sermon on the Mount, God gives us a little something different. And I'm not through with it yet even, but I want to share once again this morning, to come back to that last Sunday, felt it led to the Lord to share what our Lord thought about children, how he valued children. But in this book, in this Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7, the book of Matthew, there are wonderful truths, and we relish those. It starts off with the Beatitudes, the word blessed starts those. That means happy or overflowing. And it talks about the happy, blessed, overflowing life of those who are listed there in some 9 different places. We looked at that wonderful passage where he said that if you ask and if you seek and you knock, it'll be open unto you if you call on him. And then we had looked at the passage of Scripture where I preached on the birds are still singing, how he provides. All of those wonderful, exhilarating, lifting, blessing type messages are riddled throughout this book and throughout this message. But also our Lord had balance. And we have to have balance. In the Old Testament, Moses was given the Word of God. And God said, you tell them, I set before them today life and death. Choose life. We have to understand the reality that we're dealing with real things. And one of the real things that sometimes people forget about, as much as I love the thought of going to heaven, well, I can't hardly wait to get there. I'm looking forward to seeing my family. Regina and I, our oldest daughter's there. She's been there a long time now. Be interested. I've wondered many times. I know I'll know her, but I'm just wondering what she'll look like. I'm looking forward to seeing other friends that are there, preacher friends who have been there for some time. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. No more sickness. Brother Andy and I were talking about he's had neck surgery and facing some other surgeries. We got Brother Calvin recuperating. Dennis and Connie, he had knee surgery. They've had COVID. They've had pneumonia or flu. They've just been through it. But one of these days, you go into a land that's fairer than day where there's no sickness or sorrow, pain. Heaven's a real place. But just as sure as heaven's a real place, there's another place. And in this Sermon on the Mount, the Lord addresses that too. And I want you to begin this morning, we're looking in chapter number 5. And look with me, please, if you will, at verse number 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, or some people say it means fool. My marginal reference in this particular Bible says empty-headed. It means that somebody who has absolutely no sense whatsoever. You're saying to them that you're a fool, you have no mind, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Notice, if you will, please, hold your place there. I want to turn to another reference that our Lord gives us. Now, we'll look down just a little further, first of all, before we turn the page. But look at verse 29. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Look at the next verse. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. This is the Creator of the universe that's speaking. This is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. This is the one who loved us and in the mind of God the Father was slain before the foundation of the world. This is the one who stood over the city of Jerusalem and wept and said, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, how oft would I gather you together as a hen gathers a chick, but you would not come to me. This is the one who said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. This is the one of whom the word of God says he's not willing that any should perish, but should all come to repentance. This is the one that the Bible says that he has no pleasure in the death of the ungodly. And he's warning about hell. Notice, hold your place there. And I will mention one other passage of scripture, not in this particular place, but hold your place there. I'm coming back. Turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, and let me show once again written in red what our Lord says in chapter 23. And look at verse number 31. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? In chapter number 5, he says something about hell. And he is warning us. Here he's warning about hell. He's talking about the dangers of hell. He's talking about here in the passage I just read to you, notice the word damnation of hell. There's a danger of hell and there's a damnation of hell. Back in chapter 5, he said that the danger of hell fire. Fire is kind of the description of hell. But in this passage of scripture, he says, uses the word, how can you escape? That is deliverance from hell. For just a few minutes, I want to talk to you about the danger of hell and the damnation of hell, the description of hell and the deliverance from hell. Will you bow with me for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful this morning that I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm good, not because, Lord, I'm intelligent, but because of the marvelous grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, because you gave me everlasting life by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who know Christ have no fear of hell, although we ought to carry a reality of it in our mind and heart. We ought to carry a burden for those that we know that are not saved, because they're not just missing out on the joy of being a Christian, but they're in danger of the damnation of hell forever. And God, I pray this morning you'd sober us. I pray, God, that you'd send us. I pray, God, that you'd fill us. I pray, God, that if there's a man, a woman, a boy, and girl here this morning that doesn't know you as Savior, I ask God, the Holy Ghost of God, to deal with them. Well, all of our friends in the radio audience, the internet audience, God, I pray for your convicting power to be real. Lord, I bow before you this morning, confess that there's no good thing in me, and apart from the work and the Lord, the move of the Holy Ghost of God, nothing of eternal consequence to take place. But Father, every soul in front of me and everyone that hears my voice is going to live forever somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. And our Father, I pray this morning that if they've not already done so, they would choose life. And I'll thank you and praise you, give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Lord in this sermon has told them wonderful things, joyous things about prayer, about the blessings of knowing Him, being in fellowship with Him, about His endless provision and all those things. But He also gives them some very stern warnings in this passage of Scripture about their life, about how they live and what they ought to do. He warned them about saying something to somebody about a little bit of speck in their eye when they've got a beam in their own eye. He told some things about their life and their prayer. And he said, be not as the hypocrites are. They think they should be heard for their much speaking. But your Father knows what things you have need of before you have asked him. But he reminds them and points out to them the reality of a place called hell. In the first place, I want to call your attention to the fact that he talks about the danger of hell. He said in chapter 5 and verse number 22 that a person who says, calls a person a fool, they are in danger. There's a danger element to it. There's a little phrase that I've heard, and I was trying to recall what it's connected to, but it's simply this, a real and present danger. Hell is a real and a present danger. There is a place called hell. Our Lord has said there's a place called hell. There's the danger. There's a danger of eternal separation from God in a place called hell. There's a danger of missing out on the opportunity to escape hell. There is a danger of you missing the blessed benefits of trusting Christ. I remember Brother Tom Gillum saying he heard the old man preach, and he was going to preach on hell. And he said, reasons I know I'm not going to hell. And the first point was, I'm not headed that away. And I'm glad I'm not headed that away. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Heaven's my home. We're strangers and pilgrims down here, but we're headed for a land that's fairer than day because of Jesus Christ. But there's a real danger. A real and present danger, that is a place called hell. It ought to cause in us, and it does cause in us, a soberness. I've not done anything emotionally to cause you to be silent. I've not done anything emotionally to cause you to be more serious-minded than you've been in the last few moments. But God, the Holy Ghost of God, is settled across this building with the reality of a truth that we'll all have to face. There is a place called hell. And this reality of hell does create in a man's heart a sense of fear if he does not have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Hell, that phrase, causes fear. It calls us to vigilance. It causes us to fear, but it calls us to vigilant, to be weary. Danger, you don't go there. High voltage, you don't go there. That bridge is out, danger, you don't go there. It is something to cause you to react to that danger, to be vigilant, to respond, choose life. It should cause you to have an aversion to hell. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be there. I want to do anything I can to avoid going to hell. Do I want to go to heaven? You can ask this everybody in here. Do you want to feel good forever and be well forever and ever? And everybody say yes. But the other side of the coin is this. Hell's a real place. And the reality of hell ought to cause us to want to avoid it and to do anything we can to keep from going there. That is a real place, and it's a real danger. And it's dangerous because it's real, but it's dangerous because it is so close to us. You say, Brother Billy, where is hell? Well, the Bible, in every occasion, speaks of it being below. Down below. Is it in the heart of the earth? I kind of think it is. And I'll go into some of that later, but I'm not going to get into speculation about that. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about geographically close to us. But hell is one heartbeat from anybody in this building. People die suddenly, their heart quits, and they're going to be somewhere. In a split second, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, they're either be in a place of torment forever and ever, or they'll be in heaven. My dear friend, hell is a reality. And the reality of the closeness of it, how quickly it could come. One car wreck, I mean, just you're passing every day 70 miles an hour, people heading your way just like that. Since I've been here, I know of three different occasions of couples, man and wife, both killed in a car wreck and great tragedies. Children, whole children burned up, die. When I was pastoring down in Valdosta, Georgia, had one of the EMS workers in our church come in. He was white as a ghost. He'd just come off of I-10. He said, "Preacher, there was a minivan, there was a car stalled, and it had slowed down, and a tractor trailer hit them from the rear and pinned them in the middle." He said, "When we got there, it was just crushed metal." And he said, "Some of them were still alive, but we couldn't do one thing to help them." And the screams of those children and family, I'll never forget. It didn't last very long. It was a horrible sight. Hell's a reality. And it's a real and a present danger. But then he mentions in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 33, the damnation of hell. That word kind of caught my attention as I was studying it through the week. Don't hear that much anymore. And I thought I knew what it meant, but I thought I might ought to get my Webster's Dictionary down and look at it, the 1828 edition. And here's what he said about damnation. It is the sentence or condemnation to everlasting punishment in future state, or the state of eternal torment. He said to them that they were in danger of damnation of hell. Not only the danger of hell, but the damnation of hell. What does it mean? It is the eternal sentence. It is the final judgment. Having heard all the evidence, having heard all the defense and all the accusations, the sentence pronounced eternal separation from God in a place called hell for eternity. Damnation means no returning. It means eternal. There's no parole. There's no escape. There's no way of getting out. Once you're there, you're there. The damnation of hell is a reality. Matter of fact, he says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30, that the whole body will end up in hell. When a person dies who's saved, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But the same thing is true of a lost person, that when they die, they immediately go somewhere too. That's pictured for us in the book of Luke. And in the book of Luke, when he begins to talk about this truth, he gives it, some people say a parable, some people say a story. And most parables, he does not use proper names. But it says, there was a certain rich man that was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed of crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. Watch this. The rich man died and were buried and in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." I'll not read the rest of it, because what I want you to understand is that hell is forever. And that's what the word damnation means. It is the final decree. I remind you, he said, he's not willing that any should perish. He has no pleasure in the death of the ungodly. But my dear friend, there are parameters, heaven or hell. And he that hath the Son hath life. Damnation of hell is eternal. It's not escapable. There's no parole. There's no pardon. And the question is, are you avoiding it? He said you can escape it. I'll deal with that in a moment. But right here, I want to turn over to John chapter 3 and read to you something about that decision, or about your situation, or the final pronouncement of judgment. He said this. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So you have a trial. You hear the pros and cons, and the sentences written, or the verdict rendered, guilty. And sometimes after that sentence is, after that that verdict has been rendered, the sentence is pronounced and it's carried out at a later date. And that's exactly what he's talking about. The Bible said that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are condemned already. In other words, hell is your eternal home unless something happens, unless something takes place. Not only does he speak of that damnation, that final sentence forever and ever and ever to be in a place called hell, but he gives us somewhat a description of it. Matthew chapter 5, he says, he calls it fire, hell fire. In chapter 18 and verse 8, he says this, it's a horrible place, and you'd be better off to pluck out your eye or cut off your hand than to go there. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 12, our Lord said, it is unquenchable fire. In chapter 13, verses 42 and 50, he said, it is a furnace of fire where there is weeping and wailing. In chapter 25 and verse 4, our Lord said that hell is everlasting fire. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 10, he said it is a place of fire and brimstone. And in chapter 20, it's called a lake of fire. He's describing hell for us. It's a place of burning, a place of fire. I'd been studying this message and did Saturday morning. I was doing a little cooking at the house, doing my breakfast routine, do it all the time. Had a little bit of bacon in the pan, and I carelessly flipped it over one time. Just standing there talking, thinking or whatever, and I flipped it over and already had some grease in the pan, and it just threw a little grease out on this finger right here. And I'm going to tell you, it burned. I ran to the water spigot and ran cold water over it. But I'd been studying about hell, and I thought, that's just one little spot of grease. Can you imagine what it would be like to have the whole body in a place called hell? He said in Matthew chapter 26, the soul will be there as well. The body at the white throne judgment will go into a place called hell. The spirit's already there. But he's describing it as a place of torment, Luke 16. It is eternal. There's unquenchable thirst there. There's the burning of the fire there. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12, our Lord said it's a place of darkness, a place of darkness. I can just say, if I didn't read anything else about hell, and there's so many, many references about it, I could read those two verses in the Sermon on the Mount to tell me I don't want to go there. I want to be delivered. And he says to those Pharisees, vipers, he called them. He said, how will you escape? How will you escape that? If you're already not saved and that's going to be your end, that's the way you're heading right now, how do you avert that? Well, he says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 21 and 24, that they should repent. They should repent. Repentance is very important. Because repentance means that you're going one way and you make a 180-degree turn. You don't believe in Christ, you believe in Christ. You reject Christ, you receive Christ. You live according to your flesh and according to the sin. You come and you receive Him as your Savior and your Lord to live according to His direction through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. It means that you acknowledge to Him in repentance that I am a sinner. He only saves sinners, but it's important that you repent, to turn from your sin, acknowledge your sin, and turn to the Savior. But then there's another step to it. He said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, he's talking to his disciples about what's going to happen in the future. And he talks about the building of the church and how that he's going to raise up the church. And he makes this statement, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What's it mean? The word prevail means to overcome or to stop. Hell can't stop the power of the gospel. Here's the gospel. Christ died for your sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day, according to the scriptures. What's all that mean? It means that he bore his sin in your own body. He's already paid that sin debt for you. It's just as if you're locked up in a prison cell somewhere and you have to pay $1 million and you don't have $1 million. And all of a sudden somebody comes with a key and unlocks the door, and you're invited to leave. You say, I can't leave. I owe $1 million. They said, you don't owe that anymore. Somebody's already paid the sin debt. Somebody's paid that debt. You're free to go. And you sit there and I say, I don't believe it. And you sit there and wait for your evening meal, and you wait for the next exercise in the sunshine. You say, Brother Bill, that's so foolish. That's what happens to people who don't trust Christ. The door's been unlocked. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's already paid your sin debt. And the way you escape hell is not by doing good deeds or getting baptized, but it's by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. It simply means that you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. At the death of Christ, when he died and was resurrected, they wanted to touch him. He said, don't touch him. I'm not yet ascended to the Father. But the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 2 and the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 that he descended into the lower parts of the earth and led captivity captive. You remember the story? Remember the story? He said to the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It would seem to me, the Word of God teaches, that there's a place in the heart of the earth. On one side is where the rich man was at. He was tormented in the fire. On the other side was a man named Lazarus. He was comforted in Abraham's bosom. And what happened when he descended to the lower part of the earth was that he led captivity captive. He brought out those that were out of there. The price had been paid for their redemptive price, and they were brought out. The other ones who had rejected the truth of the Word of God that they knew at the time are still there. And because of that, the Bible said, hell hath enlarged herself. And today those who reject Christ and reject the Word of God will spend eternity there. You and I are to be faithful to the Word of God. We are to preach the Word of God. We are to cause people to understand the reality and the danger of not trusting Christ. It's one thing to say, well, I don't think I want to do that going about their way. But if they're killed in a car wreck on the way home, if they are shot, if there's something horrible happens in their life, take their life suddenly, the danger is that they'll be in hell for all eternity with no escape, no way of getting out for all eternity. Our Lord wants us to know that. And there are three things I remind you this morning. Number one, I believe in saying that and sharing that with us in the Sermon on the Mount, he wants us to understand our accountability to God. It's one thing to love your neighbor and yourself, but we are accountable to God. And sin has separated us between us and our God. And we are accountable to him. He holds us accountable for our sin. We either pay for our sin by our own death and eternity in hell, or we'll accept his Son's gift. But he also wanted us to understand the awfulness of hell and the eternal destiny of those who don't receive Christ. But then here, the availability of escape. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Hell doesn't have to be fearful to you if you know Christ is your Savior. It ought to motivate me, it ought to motivate you to reach others for Christ. But my dear friend, you don't have to go to hell. If you go to hell, you go over the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died and shed his blood that you might be saved and that you might escape the danger, the damnation, the horrible description of what hell's like. You can be delivered by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning as we pray together and look to the Lord? Thank God for salvation. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I've been born again by the grace of God. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Nothing I've done. And the old song that we love to sing, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. The way men and women, boys and girls get to go to heaven is by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, eternal death, separation from God, a place called hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the message of the gospel. Do I want people to be religious? No. Do I want them just to be a Baptist? No. I don't want them to die and go to hell. I want them to be in heaven. for all eternity. And God made it possible. My job and your job is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, that you don't have to fear hell, you don't have to go to hell, but you do have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house, he said. Believe, trust him today. Take a step of faith. You say, Brother Bill, I don't understand it all. You don't have to understand it all. You need to understand just a few things. Number one, are you lost? Do you acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner? Number two, do you understand that Jesus Christ died to pay your sin debt? And number three, he's alive now. He invites you to come. And he said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. And he that cometh to me, I will grant to live for eternity in a place called heaven. Receive him now. Heavenly Father, I pray God, the Holy Ghost of God will do his eternal work. And I know that he will. He's faithful. God, I'm unfaithful, but God, you're faithful to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The judgment, eternity in hell, is reality. And God, I pray, God, that some today in the radio audience, in the internet audience, or in this building will respond by faith and joyously receive the Lord Jesus Christ and the opportunity to live forever in a place called heaven. And God, I'll thank you. Let's stand together with our heads bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Brad's going to sing a verse or two of song. I believe if God spoke to your heart, you need to respond now, right now. I'll be down to the front if I can help you. If you've been praying about a church home, you feel like this is where God wants you, we'd love to have you. If that's what God wants you to do, if you're saved, been baptized, you believe the Word of God. But I want you just to obey God. This morning I knelt in my office early. I knelt in the church office here just a few minutes ago, my study here at the church. And I said, God, I don't want to bring a message unless I've got a burden. Oh, God, give me a burden. If this message is real, if this truth is real, then I've got lost neighbors and friends and family members. Oh, God, help me to be ever vigilant in prayer and praying. God, help me to use every opportunity to witness and tell them about Christ. God, people that I meet in public places, help me to know that every little boy, every little girl, every man, every woman will either be in heaven or hell, and God, somehow I have a message that can make a difference. Oh, God, help me to be a witness for Christ. Maybe you want to get around the altar this morning and once again pray for some of your lost family members. You may start coming now, or if some are here, you won't be the first. I invite you to come. Obey Christ right now. Just do what Christ wants you to do, what the Holy Ghost of God prompts you to do. You don't understand it all, but by faith, would you be willing to call on him? Whosoever shall call by the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on him today.